Rutherford Issues on the Good Neighbor Network. Rutherford County's place to talk. We're WGNS, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11.
We welcome you back in. Rutherford Issues continuing here on a Tuesday on WGNS AM-FM. And Carrie Boylan, who is Rutherford Issues contributor here to the program, has been working on her first assignment. Carrie, how are you?
I am doing wonderful.
That sounds very official, doesn't it?
Your
first assignment.
My first assignment.
Well, you have some great guests in studio here to talk with you today, so I'll let you take it away and tell us about who will be speaking and what are you speaking about today.
Well, I'm planning on not speaking much at all, but I do have to make a couple of announcements. I do want to tell my brother, James, how terribly sorry I didn't mention his name last week. And I know he's listening in England via the internet at the moment while he's eating his supper. And I also want to thank my guests for coming in, Tim Spears and Judy Campbell. Fantastic people. They are instrumental in the success of our Rutherford County Council on Aging. They're board members. Tim is the president and Judy is the historian. And we're going to talk a little bit today about the forum that's coming up on October 21st. But before we get started, Tim and Judy and I were having a bit of a laugh out in the lobby. Specifically, Tim, I want you to talk a little bit about Skylar and that whole bling thing we were talking about. I thought it was fabulous. Go ahead. Tell me about how she views Dolly Parton, for example.
Well, I have a 7-year-old daughter that finds Dolly Parton to be quite interesting, and when she grows up, she wants to look like her. And the funny thing of it is when she first told me that, it was Aunt Dolly, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you do not have an Aunt Dolly. And she says, yes, I do. You know Hannah Montana's aunt. So anyways, comes to find out that it's Dolly Parton, and in a 7-year-old version, I explained to her that she says it costs a lot to look that cheap. But all she sees is bling and a lot of animal prints, so that's where we're going to go with that.
I think it's wonderful. So then we started talking, and I said, so obviously Skylar, who I met last weekend or the weekend before at the Alzheimer's Walk, was a delightful little girl. And so I said to Tim, I said, so how come you're interested in our seniors then? And that was when Tim and Judy started talking. So, Tim, why don't you explain a little bit about why you're involved with the seniors, considering how passionate we are about Skylar?
Well, first of all, it started probably back in 1991 when Dr. Judy Campbell was my nursing instructor at MTSU in the community program. And that was geared toward a lot of geriatrics. And matter of fact, I did my first home health tour with you in MTSU. Hi. And for years, except for 7 years that I worked in long-term care, I have worked in home health. I currently work with the Medicis Home Health as a registered nurse and a care transition coordinator. And, you know, we have such a growing, we have a huge population of elderly people. And with the baby boomers and stuff, I mean, we've got to pay attention to the care that they're going to need. And, you know, you can learn so much from elderly people that it really warms my heart. So a lot of times, even though it is a job, I get more benefit than the check that I receive. So,
see, you're doing what lights you up. And I think that's really important. I mean, just talking about it right now, I see your face lighting up just thinking about taking care of the seniors and what needs to be done. My grandmother, Kitty Waite, she was an incredible woman, charity work, but also taught me respect. And I think, Judy, you put it quite well. You can learn well from a sage if you're willing to listen. So You're the historian for the Rutherford County Council on Aging. So why don't you bring us up to date a little bit on how we started, where we are, and what's coming up on the 21st.
All right, I'd be glad to. Well, the Council on Aging has been around since the beginning of the 21st century along that timeline, and the emphasis here is an organization that is a group of professionals, and it could be a group of just lay people, seniors themselves, who want to advocate for the needs of seniors in our community.
Okay.
There are councils on aging across the country. There's a large one in Davidson County, but we wanted our own here in Rutherford County, and that's how we got started with developing this one. We try to help educate people in the community about aging needs, and mm-hmm. we try to listen to the needs that are being expressed by the people in the community so that we can advocate for them, whether that be at a local level or all the way to the state level, and go down to the state house and try to help get some bills passed that would change and make aging easier and also improve quality of life as you age. And so one of the things that we do is we provide a forum every year, and this is a forum that's open to anyone in the community. It'll be October the 21st. We will meet at St. Clair Street Senior Center, and we will have a light lunch starting at 11:30, and by noon we will start our forum, and we have about 8 different professionals who are going to be talking about end-of-life issues. This is the focus for this forum this year. We always call it Let's Talk Senior Issues, and the issue we're going to talk about is end-of-life issues. So we have different folks coming to be a part of a panel, which John Hood, who is our facilitator and has facilitated all of our forums, will be there to help us direct that discussion, and we will have some information to share, but we will also have a time to open it up to those who are in the audience to ask questions and to help them with the concerns that they may have about end-of-life issues. And I wanted to say one thing about what you said about talking about learning from our aging folks and the importance of talking about aging as a process. As that is a growing piece that we've got to deal with, because people are living longer, and the fastest growing group of aging folks are over 80. And at the same time, we all know as we age that we are faced with the potential of end of life. But as our society has for so long, we don't want to talk about that. And so we have nurses like Tim, who we've tried in the educational program to give them opportunities to deal with end-of-life issues. We have a lot of families out there, and even people in families, who've never dealt with anyone who's died, and yet they've got to deal with the fact that they are going to die, and more importantly, the ones they love and are very close to will die, and we've got to become a society that's willing to talk about this. So that's why we hope this forum will be help people to begin a dialogue. Let's talk about the fact that there are issues we have to deal with when we are facing death.
And you wouldn't believe the people that don't even want to talk about it, period.
I get that. I absolutely get that. And I've had, as I've said, a turbulent Tuesday so far. And I had occasion to talk to one of my friends at the gym today, Darlene, and she shared with me the most beautiful story about the passing of her mother. And she said that it was something that she's not afraid to talk about, and she's not afraid of her end of life because of that experience. But bringing it back to our Council on Aging, you're right, we do need to be able to talk about it. And perhaps you could explain, we were talking earlier about hospice versus palliative care. You want to maybe take a couple of seconds and talk about that?
Yes, I think in general, people have heard the term hospice for quite a while, because the hospice actually started hundreds and hundreds of years ago with this whole idea of hospitality. And that term was used then and put into the care of people toward the end of life who needed a lot of comfort and hospitality. So we usually associate that with specific care given to people within the last 6 months of their life. They've got a terminal diagnosis, they've been told that they have 6 months or less mm-hmm. to live, and they are then able to be a part of a caregiving group who provide care for them, who ensure or work toward quality of life and comfort during that time. But now we have a new term out there called palliative care, and that's for folks who also are told, maybe in their 40s or 50s, that they have an illness that there is no cure for. Now, that might be diabetes, that might be a form of cancer, it might be a muscular dystrophy, it could be
a chronic disease.
Mm-hmm. And we want then people to feel comfortable starting to talk about what's going to happen to them, what can they do now to ensure a higher quality of life, what do they need to know to help know when things are changing, And so now there are groups of health professionals whose focus is on providing palliative care. And we have actually a group right now that is affiliated with our hospital. And we have a physician and a nurse and we have a chaplain, all who are focusing on caring for people who have a palliative care need. Now, usually hospice care and palliative care are going to be, you're going to get involved with those when a physician who is treating you says that it's time for you to receive hospice care or it's time for you to receive palliative care. But we want the health, the person in the community to say to the health professional, what about, am I eligible? Is it time for me to talk to somebody and get help either at hospice toward the last few months of their life or palliative care when they receive a diagnosis that's going to eventually be chronic and then eventually be terminal?
Okay, so Tim, are you involved in that sort of thing in what you're doing every day, or you?
We, as far as in every day of my job at a medicine's home health, we are more of a skilled service of a, it's short term.
I see,
of therapy, it's physical, occupational, speech therapy, nursing, social work, that type of thing.
Okay.
More so of the palliative care that she's speaking about. But it is an issue, and we do.
See, even I don't know much about
when
it.
When there's exacerbations of these chronic diseases, then we may have to go in there on a temporary basis to perform the care they need at that time. But
right. Well, I think it's important that we need to bring that up and maybe encourage people that are maybe taking care of their parents who are aging. Maybe they need to get a little bit more informed on what sort of expectations they can have as mummy and daddy get older. I want to bring it back around to some positive things, like we were talking about the 80-plus generation. My darling aunt is 79 years young, and she's tap dancing, so I love the fact that I've got some good genes out there, but we need to be talking about what seniors are doing from an active standpoint, activities in the community that they put on, and things of that nature.
But I think what we're also saying is that seniors need to have a right to have a say in their own care. Seniors need to be informed of the decisions that are things that are happening to them, but they, starting with advanced directives, they are a part of the decision-making process.
Absolutely.
And so even that's a part of an end-of-life issue. Do you have an advanced directive completed? Have you designated someone to be a surrogate for health care for you? Have you made some of those decisions? Do you have a will? And so in this form, we will have people there to talk, from a lawyer to talk, to help them with decisions that might need to be made with end-of-life issues. We're going to have a chaplain there to help talk about maybe some spiritual needs that they're going to have. We're going to have grief counselors, people who work with the grief process maybe after a death has occurred, and we're still working with the family and helping them deal with that.
And financial.
Financial piece, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be looking at even having someone from the funeral home to be there to kind of talk about, they're saying now, plan your funeral out so that your family who are grieving at that point at the loss of you don't have to worry about the details of what you really wanted. That's already been planned out. We're going to have a palliative nurse there, and again, we will have a home health representative and hospice care representative. So we've tried to think across a broad spectrum of professionals and people who can participate in the panel who can answer those questions about what are my rights, and again, how can I have a say-so in what's going to happen to me in the end of life. And because you're going to live a long time, that's the positive piece, because of the fact that we do have a healthier aging population than we've had in the past, and the longevity, the average length of life in Rutherford County is 76.2 years. So we've got that, we're right around that normal for what's going on in the United States. We've got to prepare and get ready to have a high quality life, but do those things we want to as long as we can, like tap dancing.
There you go. So Tim, why did you decide to become president of the Council on Aging?
Because Dr. Judy told me I had to.
Oh my. still teaching after all
these years. Still teaching after all these years.
I have a great leader.
You do.
She
indeed.
Said, it's your time.
It's your time.
I've groomed you.
Right.
Well, and I respect that very much. So, you know, we both, I mean, we and her have worked together, involved in different things, the past Dynamics, the Elderly Caregiving Conference. So, you know, I mean, it's just an honor to be involved in the Rutherford County Council on Aging. I don't need a title.
No.
We've done lots of things, and the title really is, you know, part of the bylaws. But we are a team, and we're growing every day. While I have the opportunity, I want to, you know, remind the third Friday of every month at 12 o'clock at the St. Clair Street Senior Center, which is at 325 St. Clair Street, we would love for anybody to come, because we do provide information each month on something from caregiving to vacations for seniors.
Well, I did it. I was there last month, and you had this fantastic lady there that was with that pointer that was able to turn the television
program.
Able to turn the television screen into a computer program that she pressed a button, and there suddenly were her grandchildren via Skype. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. So you do put out some really good, solid meetings that are, you said, the third Friday of every month
at noon.
At noon.
You can bring a light sack lunch or something.
Brown bag.
It's very casual, but, you know, we think great information comes out of there in an hour. So we want, if you're a healthcare professional, if you're a caregiver, if you're a senior, we want anybody to come, and...
Or if you're nosy, just like me.
Well, we like nosy, too.
Yeah, thank you.
And we hope that you're so nosy and so concerned that you want to get out in your community, get involved with senior issues, and get involved in advocating and promoting health and well-being for our seniors, but at the same time, sharing correct information, because I think one of the things that we like to do with our programming is get out the newest and latest and the correct knowledge and information, because I think a lot of times people are making decisions based on inaccurate or limited information, and so we're part of the educational process for our community by offering something like the forum or helping to sponsor other educational programs that go on in our community. There was a large symposium that we were one of the sponsoring agencies for last May, and they're already starting to gear up to start planning for the 2012 symposium again. And so anything that we as a group, the Council on Aging, can do to help educate our community about what are aging needs, how we can, if there's services that are not there, how can we advocate to get those services brought
here.
In, and is this what we want to do? We remember when there was no public transportation versus only a taxi.
And Rover.
And now we have Rover, which is one of those things that we think is a great piece of assistance for seniors, because transportation needs will always and always have been one of the major concerns of seniors. That financial piece, that's one of the major concerns of seniors right now, as it is of all of us. But think about if you had to give someone $10 to $20 to carry you to the doctor, and you're on a limited income anyway. I mean, that's a significant thing, where you can ride on Rover at a much reduced price. And so we're delighted that's being an issue that's been addressed by Rutherford County, that we brought in something like that. But we know there's other needs out there that our seniors need to have addressed, and we want to do that for them.
Well, I will say this. We are only a few minutes away from Davidson County, so the state capital is close by.
Amen.
And we will be keeping an eye on the Council on Aging. And with that, I'd like to thank both of you for coming in today. Brian is making wild, crazy signs at me, so it's time for me to say goodbye. And blessings to everyone, and enjoy the rest of this beautiful, sunny day.
Carrie? Thank you so much. Great information today on the Rutherford County Council on Aging. Tim Spears, Judy Campbell, and our Rutherford Issues contributor, Carrie Boylan, joining us here on Rutherford Issues this afternoon.